Spirit Guide Underground, September 8, 2007.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads at www.spiritblade.net. All right, well, let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and look at the updates.
Update information.
Okay, the updates for this week. Casting is all finished. Mixing has now begun full time. I mixed the first scene of Dark Ritual this week, and I'm going to go ahead and preview it right here. It's not a complete mix. I haven't added music to it, and I'll still be adjusting levels and whatnot. It's not a terribly action-packed scene, but I thought it would be cool to just have you guys hear the first kind of scene after the opening credits have finished. This is the first scene from Dark Ritual, so enjoy.
Almost got it. All right, go ahead and test the relay.
Be good to get this place networked. Nice to be out in the desert away from the city, but building all this from the ground up...
I like to think of it as a fresh start, you know? Like taking a deep breath. Forgetting the past.
Only we can't forget the past. The Liberation went through hell last year, and we've still got the scars to... Sorry. Didn't mean it to come out like that. How you doing? It's been a while since you talked about it.
I'm fine. My cybernetics have been working great, upgrading smoothly.
That's not what I meant. I think you know that. Ran, Atlantis took almost half of your body in that attack.
Don't have to tell me, Vincent.
Then when are you gonna tell somebody? You act like nothing's happened.
I don't want to be treated any different. I'm the same person I've always
been. No, you're not. You've completely shut down. Used to be nothing we couldn't talk about. Drac, I couldn't get you to shut up. You want to be treated like a person, then you gotta act like one. You want people to see who you are, then you gotta show them, not lock yourself away in your world of programming and troubleshooting.
Someone has to program and troubleshoot. I'm one of the few techs left. I need to keep this place running smoothly so Merrick has what he needs to lead us.
Yeah, that's a whole different mess.
What do you mean?
The guy doesn't know what he's doing. He just learned the truth about the Only, and suddenly he's running everything?
He's been gifted in ways none of us completely understand yet. The Only's going to use him.
How's the Only going to use him if he doesn't understand the most basic aspects of the spirit world?
Fine. He needs a teacher. I can't think of anyone better than you.
I can. Isaiah could have...
Isaiah's gone, Vince.
You think I don't know that better than anybody? I watched him die, Ran. Right there in front of me. So much blood in his lungs he couldn't give more than a pathetic gurgle. I know he's gone, Ran. And pretty soon the Liberation is going to feel it, too.
We have Merrick now. He's made the choice to lead us, just like Isaiah said he would.
Don't get me wrong, Ran. Merrick's a good kid. But he doesn't know the journey we've been on, and he's not a fighter. He's some kind of Fresen musician. Not to mention young enough to...
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Merrick, I thought you weren't getting in until this afternoon.
An early transport opened up, so I thought I'd take the chance to get back early and catch some extra sleep.
How'd it go? Able to find the location of that tribe?
I think so, but I couldn't get close enough to confirm. The transport we used for exploration kept losing power every time we thought we were getting close. I'd like to take you along next time, see if you can figure out why. Meantime, check these out.
New toy on your data pad?
Better. This tribe might not leave their territory, but they sure like to preach to their neighbors. All the bordering countries have received manuscripts, music, all kinds of cultural files that this tribe sent out in an effort to convert them or something. They only use pen and paper, so I spent the trip home scanning it all so you could have a better look.
Wonderful, Merrick. I'll load it straight to my cyber system memory.
Hey, Vincent.
Merrick.
So it looks like you've pretty well settled in here. How many are on the new base right now?
Just over 100. Survivors of the Atlantis attack last year are still scattered, afraid to come out of hiding.
They aren't exactly confident that there's anything to come out to yet. So, Merrick, after the Nephilim operation was destroyed last year, you said you were changing. Figure out what that was all about yet?
Not really. I haven't had anything like the flashes of power I felt since that night. I'm wondering if it was triggered by stress or the adrenaline of combat.
We could test that theory, you know.
What, you want to spar or something? You're a trained soldier, Vincent. You'll mop the floor with me.
Well, the prophecy said you're not checking out or taking any serious hits before you're a grandfather, so I couldn't do too much. But I'm not thinking about here anyway. There's a part of the spirit world that's really low on activity. Isaiah used it to train me as a shifter. Combat's a whole different animal in the spirit world. I could train you, show you how it works.
I'm game. When?
No time like the present.
Vince, he just got back. Why don't you let him rest?
It's okay, Rand. I haven't felt comfortable shifting on my own since last year, but I've been itching to revisit the spirit world. This'll actually be just what I need.
All right, but I'd like to use a converter to join you both in case...
Case of what, Rand? Don't you trust me?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. I'll just keep an eye out for any unusual activity so you can completely devote yourself to training Merrick.
Oh, great. All settled.
Primary feature. Activated.
All right, we're going to start with a review for Outsiders number 50, which was released by DC Comics this week. Batman has taken over leadership of the Outsiders once again and is changing their status quo so that the public will see them as outlaws. Possibly influenced by Marvel's Civil War, Batman recognizes that with the attack of the Amazons on America, the destruction of another country at the hands of Black Adam, and the murder of Bart Allen, who was the Flash until Wally West just recently reappeared, superheroes are being watched more closely than ever. Now, Batman wants the Outsiders to operate away from the public eye and gain credit as a villain organization to allow them to better infiltrate the underworld. Tony Bedard seems to have taken over as a writer. I'm not sure if he's going to be part of the regular writing team from here on, but he did write this issue. I felt it was a positive change. Actually, any new writer would be a positive change since Judd Winnick was beginning to be too predictable, as is his pattern when he takes over a new book. There's certain political topics or social topics that he likes to kind of cover, and it just gets to be a little bit too predictable in his writing. The current team roster includes, for the Outsiders, Batman, of course, Martian Manhunter, Metamorpho, Thunder, Grace, Katana, and spoiler warning, Catwoman. On the last page of Outsiders number 50, Catwoman appears to be joining the team, which I think will be really cool. We'll see how that works out. Although the art and writing for this issue were nothing above the norm for DC Comics, there was nothing wrong with it either, and the new status quo may be just what this title needs to make it stand out. Of course, time will tell, as next month, Batman and the Outsiders number 1, that'll be the name of the new title, will pick up where Outsiders 50 left off, so the ongoing series will continue without any interruption, but the title of the book will change to Batman and the Outsiders, and they're going to go back to numbering at number 1. So my rating for this issue, in terms of quality, I give it an 8.0, nothing outstanding, but definitely solid. And then for veracity, I give it a 7.0. Not a whole lot that you can talk about, but topics could include the question, can breaking the law ever be the right thing to do, the objectively actual right thing to do? Is that ever possible? And another topic might be, which we're dealing with, of course, in America right now, freedom versus security, the pros and cons, and which side do you want to err on? So those are some issues that might come out of reading number 50 of Outsiders. Okay, next up is a review for Shoot 'Em Up. This is the movie starring Clive Owen, Monica Bellucci, and Paul Giamatti. I saw this yesterday. The premise, a newborn baby is being hunted by members of a political conspiracy. I won't go into the details because it's not all that exciting, really. Clive Owen is the gun-shooting hero who decides, because he's a nice guy at heart, to protect the baby. Now, Monica Bellucci is his prostitute love interest. All three stars turn in performances that are adequate, given the lack of, you know, character development. They do well with what they have to work with. Paul Giamatti particularly shines in a role that's very different from his usual. It's a very strong, dark, just kind of bad boy kind of villain. His character is certainly the most interesting in the film. The action is crazy and really unbelievable, but unbelievable in a bad way. I love cool, crazy action movies, but I like them to explain how the crazy, cool, unbelievable action is possible. The effects in this movie are fine. The action scenarios in the film defy basic laws of physics constantly without any rational explanation. So it's Matrix-type action, but without the benefit of understanding that they can do this because they're in the Matrix. It's just, you know, they just kind of throw out laws of physics. While the action is very cool, without an explanation for how any of it is possible, the movie exists purely as action eye candy with no depth or reason. And you know, when there's no rules for how they can do all these spectacular things, you stop being concerned for the characters. Like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, well, you don't feel that anymore because based on what you've seen, this guy can just pull any cool action trick out of his butt and he's going to be fine. So there's no reason to be, you're not invested, at least I wasn't, you're not invested in the safety of these characters. Also, the strange sexual material seems gratuitous in this movie and without any sophistication or class. There isn't much nudity, but the film still really exploits, I feel, sex to sell tickets, giving no more meaning or value to the story. It's just there, you know, sex, guns, rock and roll, that kind of thing. And it doesn't help the film at all. With the exception of the first few crazy action stunts, after which the lack of believability kicks in, this movie has really little to offer someone that likes substance with their action. In terms of veracity, things, you know, worth talking about after seeing this film, you would need to work much harder than it's worth to pull any meaningful conversation topics from this film. Man, I wish it would have been executed a lot better. For quality, I give it a 6.5 out of 10, and for veracity, I give it a 2.0 out of 10, only because I'm sure you could pull some comparison, but you'd really have to work really hard to have anything meaningful to talk about. But yeah, 2.0 out of 10.
Every word of God proves true.
Stockton will set you free.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Stockton will set you free.
All right, today we are searching for truth in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Have you read chapter 15 yet? If not, please take a minute now and catch up with us before continuing, or you're going to miss out on reading the most valuable words of the day. Please do not be content to just listen to me blab when you've got the Word of God right there available to you. That's an awesome thing. Chapter 15, check that out if you haven't, and then start playing this deal again. Okay, so here's just my observations on this chapter. Jesus continues to make it clear that he is more important than any teacher or even human that ever existed. He says that apart from him, his followers can do nothing. In fact, he says that anyone who does not remain in him will be thrown away and burned. Wow, very hard words to read and to think about. On the other hand, those that remain close to Jesus will have meaningful, productive lives that will show other people how amazing God really is. Two very different sides of one singular choice that we all make and that we really make every day in the way that we choose to live our lives. Jesus emphasizes his desire for his followers to remain in a loving relationship with him. He doesn't want anybody to be separated from God. He wants everyone to have a perfect and lasting relationship with him. He wants our lives to be just overflowing with a kind of joy that we have never experienced before. And he knows that this is going to happen if we obey him. Now, obedience to God isn't always fun. In fact, a lot of the time, it can be really difficult and painful. But Jesus knows that obedience is the pathway to just an unstoppable kind of joy. I mean, if we were simply obeying a pastor or priest, that's meaningless. That's a chore. They're just a man. They're just a person. They're, you know, on the same journey that we're on. But God knows absolutely what is best for us. He knows exactly how we will find fulfillment because he designed us himself. So it really should make perfect sense that by kind of recalibrating ourselves toward our designer's original purpose for us, we're going to function the way that we were meant to and fulfill the purpose of our design. Does that make sense? Have you ever wanted to feel like a sense of fulfillment and purpose in your life? The key that's presented here in Scripture is to follow Christ and become continually closer to him and his teaching, both knowing it and carrying it out in your own life and day-to-day choices. Now, another amazing aspect of this chapter is that Jesus calls his followers friends. Not a big deal if Jesus was not claiming to be God, but Jesus has clearly claimed on multiple occasions to be God himself. So think about that for a second. If you put your trust in Christ and you're really trying to follow him daily, you are God's friend, not just a servant. I mean, we are still servants, but not just a servant, but someone that he's chosen to bring close to him and to confide in. And Jesus modeled ultimate friendship for us when he gave up his life so that we could live with him forever. Now, although it's very likely you'll never be asked to die in place of someone you know, an interesting thing to think about is, can you think of a way that you can, quote, lay down your life, or in another way of saying that might be to set aside your self-interests for someone that you know today, a friend or family member? Think about that for a second and consider putting aside your own interests and some aspect of your own agenda and priorities for today in favor of serving someone else and expressing love to someone else. Now, finally, we listen as Jesus comments on his relationship to the rest of the world, and in turn, our relationship to the rest of the world. And I say our as believers, if we believe in Christ. The nature of Jesus' message is that some will embrace it, and others will, in some way, be offended by it. There's not much room for indifference once you understand the totality of what Jesus said during his time on earth. And those that are offended by what Jesus taught will also be offended by the people who believe in it. However, let's be clear here that the reality of this situation does not give Christians permission to be antagonistic or to kind of play the victim. What we need to remember as Christians is that the true battle has already been won, and we are more than conquerors in this life. In fact, that phrase comes from, let's see here. Let me look at Romans 8:35-39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And that's where that phrase, more than conquerors, in other translations says, more, we are more than conquerors, in verse 37. Picking up at verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that is encouraging. I'd advise you to mark that in your Bible if you haven't already. Because when life is getting you down, it's important to turn back to the Word and kind of recalibrate yourself and remember what's really truth, what's really important. And that's just an awesome truth that I wish I remembered a lot more often when challenges in life are hurting me. Let's see here. Now, we should remember that phrase, more than conquerors that you'll see in some translations in verse 37, that doesn't mean conquerors over other people. But we're talking about, as you see, in that passage from Romans, about being conquerors over the pain and fear that might try to make us feel removed from God. There's a lot of metaphors in the Bible about life being a battle and a spiritual battle and stuff like that. But we as Christians have to remember we're not fighting against other people. We're not fighting against political movements. We're fighting against the forces of evil, demons, and Satan himself that are bringing about things in our lives to try and take us further away from God. They are the true enemy here. And it's also important to remember we have an ally in life that Jesus talks about in the end of chapter 15 here. That's our counselor, the Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll help us understand God's Word and to know Jesus more and more throughout life if we'll take time and learn from Him. That's a promise specifically for believers in Christ, that that the Holy Spirit will come into our lives. And that's not like, although it is, you know, the Holy Spirit is, He's mysterious. We're not going to go into a trance and learn all the answers. But the Holy Spirit will bring thoughts into our minds and bring people and other resources into our minds that will help us to understand Scripture and how to apply it to our lives and how to grow closer to God through meeting Him in Scripture. If you're feeling in any way alone or misunderstood this week, remember that God wants to have a very personal relationship with you every day. He loves you more than anyone possibly can and wants you to know the incredible joy found through loving and living with Him. The coffee house question for this week that I would love to get your thoughts on is, what would be your idea of a true friend? Maybe you have someone in mind that kind of exemplifies a true friend, and maybe you just have an ideal in mind. But I'd like to hear from you. What would be your idea of what a true friend is like? Meantime, don't forget to read chapter 16 for next week. Okay, that's it for today. First, I want to shout out an apology to Winston, a.k.a. Mind Spike, because he sent me his kind of commentary on Captain America last week, which I read, and I didn't notice until after I'd posted the podcast that he'd also included an MP3 of him reading the same thing, and crap, I would have much rather had him on here so you guys could hear his energy and interest in the topic. So my sincere apologies, Winston. I will keep my eyes posted next time. Peeled. Did I say posted? I'll keep my eyes peeled next time. How about that? For any attachments to your emails, man. I'm a moron. Sorry. Okay, as always, I need your help to create the Spirit Blade Underground community. I'd love for you to be a part of our podcast. Here's what I need. First of all, I need your answers to our weekly coffee house questions. This week is, what's your idea of a true friend? Two, tell us how we can make the podcast and blogs better or more interactive. And three, become what we're calling an underground correspondent. And that's really a lot less complicated than it sounds. You just record a review one time and then never again, or multiple times if you want. Record reviews for books, movies, TV shows, anything that you think our listeners would be interested in. And you may just hear it on the next podcast. Please, though, do limit that message to 3 minutes or less in length. So here's how you get the message to us. You record a message with your ideas, reviews, or other thoughts at either patersbrain.blogspot.com or pater.libsyn.com. There's a little Evoca recorder mic deal that you just point and click, and it you start reading or speaking into your microphone, and we get it. You can also email stuff if you'd rather I read it on the podcast. You can email me at pater@spiritblade.net. Don't forget to include your name so everyone will know just how awesome you really are. Names can be withheld upon request. I'm happy to do that. So anyway, like I said, that's it for today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time. And until then, please, in all things, seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Your banter is awesome. Blader is a crazy freak.